Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Dusha.
Jesus Christ. A couple of things are back this week.
You cannot fucking keep me down forever, cunt! If you're a new listener, welcome back to the show. I'm a regular third co-host. Unfortunately, due to what will probably come down to be revealed, like when the case files are opened up, as you know, a hit job by the heads of the AFL to try and get me out of this podcast.
Yeah. 30 years from now, when they're unredacted.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the CIA thing? Like after a certain number of years. That there was, this is completely tangential, but did you see that there was a thing where there was apparently a bunch of CIA files about JFK's assassination that Biden said, we're just not going to release those because it's not a really good time because everyone's a bit stressed. And someone's like, are they going to release a document that says that the CIA did it? Like, is that going to be?
Always with the politics, Thomas Reed. We're here to talk football, mate.
Okay, sorry.
Sean, since we're here to talk football, I feel like you've got a big question for us.
Oh, the biggest. Maybe the biggest question in the world right now. How good's footy?
Footy's back.
Footy is back. It was gracing our screens. How good was it just to see some footy?
I couldn't believe my fucking eyes when on Friday night, was just sitting back looking at beautiful, beautiful stadium in Frankston, Skyboss Stadium.
Yeah. Never thought you were going to say beautiful and Frankston in the same sentence, did you?
I have nothing.
Or Skybus.
Nothing
but, that was the.
I have nothing but fond memories of Frankston. Last time I was there, saw a band. The entire venue got into a fist fight. It's good stuff.
Can I tell you how powerful football is?
Yeah.
And how good it is that on Sunday when Brisbane were playing, I flat out forgot that the Ashes was on.
Oh, that
like,
is
literally.
Big. Oh.
That was the final day of the test. I just forgot. Yeah. It got to later in the night, and I was like, oh, fuck. I completely forgot. Like, it was over. I had to check the scores. Footy. It's that good.
And, Sean, I mean, you know what? We'll get to Brisbane in a second, but let's just quickly start. You know what? We'll do this. We'll go for the smart start. I'm back, so I'm taking the reins. Smart start. We'll start at the beginning. Round one, game one, and then we will go to the Geelong and North game, which... many will realize is actually game two of round
one. Okay, yep.
But then we'll head up to Brisbane. Or sideways to Adelaide. Yes. Friday night I watched the St. Kilda and Richmond game, and I honestly couldn't, like, it took me so long for my brain to register that footy is back, and fucking hell, Richmond Tigers look fucked up dangerous. There was points in this game where it didn't look like they could miss. Shot at goal, you might as well chalk it up. 6 points. It was fucked up.
10-1 or something, or 11-1 or something 10, cooked like 10-1. That.
10-1. Beat their previous high score, which was, I think. Oh god,
only like 2 points or 1 point lower.
It was 9-6 was I think their previous best.
Yeah,
and they kicked 10-1.
I think that might have been against us. So
yeah, it was.
Yeah, a lot of records are set and broken.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not all bad for St Kilda. They had a couple of players as well that looked like they could, you know, absolutely turn it on and blow a fucking game apart. Caleb Brazza is the scariest forwards I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, she's a scary forward. But in terms of...
Because she's...
I don't know. If you're a St Kilda fan right now...
There wasn't a... Look.
It's going to be hard because your two best players, one's injured and one is doing her own research. So...
Yep. Hey, at least you got a great new... the coach. Sorry, Matt Stewart. Yeah.
Look, it's probably not going to be St Kilda's year, but there was moments in the game where I was like, this could swing back. And sure, it didn't because it got to like the last quarter and St Kilda hadn't kicked a goal since the first quarter. And I was like, well, it's probably not going to happen now. But yeah, Caitlin Greiser. That's all you need to focus on for the time. She is somehow looks like a dangerous forward whilst also playing like an enforcer in the defense line. Like, best of both worlds.
It's a powerful combo. I just love watching Kate McCarthy get through a game uninjured. Yeah, so it just means the promise of next week is high.
Yeah.
Also,
loving her commentary, by the way, as well. Her special comments on other games.
Very good.
Yeah, very legend.
Good. Just have to say, there was a passage of play in this game.
Oh, yeah.
That was absolutely fuck. Like, anyone, like, what, we're year six, year seven of AFLW, and the skill, every season we come back and you're like, the skills are better. There was a passage of play in this that it pains me to say because Richmond are an enemy of mine. But that passage of play that resulted in that goal, I think in the third quarter,
the start of the fourth quarter. The
handballs. Just the handballs in and out of space, back and forth to one another. Just incredible stuff. And then a beautiful kick to the lead. Like, you go, oh, that's... Anyone who's like, oh, the skills are shit, I refuse to watch it, blah, 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 just show them that and be like, all right, champ, you have a crack at that. You see if you can pin together that passage of play. You can't, you fucking dead shit park cricket playing footballer.
Yeah, nah, that's good. That's good by you, Tom. I love that. Fuck them.
I just like to say something that, while we're just stating very painfully obvious things about this game, Monique Conti, she's very fucking good at football.
She could win
she's
the car,
pretty good at footy, yeah.
Katie Brennan, pretty fucking good at footy.
Yeah.
And
can I just say,
we're talking about people that are really fucking good at footy, we can absolutely pinpoint the success of Richmond here because it was, as highlighted in a very, 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 very loose halftime package, the reunion of Jess and Sarah on the football field. And Twin Magic was fucking thriving at Tigerland.
Twin Magic is real. Done. It's real.
It is.
We've seen it. Tom, we've seen it up close. Host of Scaredy Boys, new episodes every Friday. Damo, he's a twin. Those two together, that's powerful. That's explosive.
I found out about Damo's twin very late in the day. Mm. And I still, like, I've seen photos of his twin.
Yeah.
I still can't believe it. A second Damo. Like,
yeah.
There's two Damos.
He had to move out of the country.
Yeah, they live on opposite sides of the world.
At their wedding, though. At Damo's wedding.
Can you imagine if, like, the bananas in pyjamas, Rob 1 and Rob 2, they had got married on the same day? Oh, I like to imagine they wear matching pyjamas with, like, the numbers on them. That's good. I like that a lot.
Very good. Twin Magic.
But yeah, Sean,
asking across half back. Jesus Christ. Adds a lot.
Jess, very good with her hands. Oh, sorry. Sarah, very good with her hands. Jess, very good at choosing violence.
Do you know, this is going forward a little bit, but Emma Carney was doing commentary, I think, on the Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, she loves a little bit of fuckery, doesn't she? Anytime there was any just nonsense, 100% on board.
Yeah, Emma Carney is what Dermot Brereton is when he's commentating violence. He just gets 100%. A bit of a giggle on. He just loves it.
A lot of that. But yeah, I don't know if you saw, and this isn't related to the game, but the AFLW, or I guess Channel 7 would have done it, but there was a halftime package on the Hoskins sisters, and the stuff they let them say and show on TV in the middle of a football game kind of blew me away, to be honest. It was good stuff.
I didn't say that.
Very loose.
Yeah, good.
Sarah was talking about Jess being like, yeah, you know, sometimes she's a real pain in my ass. Well, can I say that? She could say it. And then they were just showing their pranks, and like some of the pranks just got like out of control. Like there was like deep heat on toilet paper at one point.
Oh, that's
Can I just say, there is a very real chance that there'll be a Richmond game at some point in the future, and there'll be a late change because one of the Hosking sisters has been mailed freight to another part of the country by the other one in a prank gone wrong.
Also,
Cost him a final.
Yeah. That's the risk you got to take. That's the risk you got to take with twin magic. Yeah. You get the power of the twin, but you also get the unpredictability of the twin.
Yeah.
Apparently, the pranks aren't just inflicted on each other. They love prank in the football club as well. So this is... It's a recipe for disaster, but it's electric on the field.
Yeah. Good on.
But yeah, Richmond absolutely fucking blew St. Kilda away. And it's looking like Richmond, I mean, if they roll in next week like this, they're playing Melbourne.
Oh.
That's a real fucking big test.
Yeah, that's a real reality check coming.
That is. Yeah. That could be a huge reality check.
For either team, to be honest.
Melbourne. Putting an early tip in. Melbourne.
Can you imagine, though, this game, it's Taylor Harris versus the Hosking sisters?
Yeah, I know. Tom, I don't know if you would know this, but I'm actually very aware of that.
you're aware of three of your favorite players all featuring in a game next week?
Yeah.
Big weekend for you, Joel. Yeah,
big Friday night. It's my mum's birthday.
Yeah.
Yet, at the moment, there is no dinner plans.
Take it to the footy. Hot dog dinner.
I'm thinking it.
Have dinner in the fun section at the footy. Oh,
yes.
Fantastic.
Or I get in early, because I also think my mom has Fridays off work. Take her out for lunch.
Oh. Then hero son shouting your mum lunch, but also best of both worlds, get to go to the footy.
It's gonna be a tough call and a very late in the day call, I think, but I would love to be there.
Yep.
Right. Speaking of teams that would probably love to be there, and by there I mean winning, Geelong, next game.
Yeah,
hey, Tom, look, you just flipped me off. Why? What was that? What's going on?
That was a glitch. I was rubbing my eye and it froze, and it looked like I'd given you the finger. Now,
glitch.
Get fucked. Yeah.
Glitch in the Matrix.
Oh, no.
Oh, what the fuck?
Oh, no. Yeah, sorry, boys. I'm Agent Smith.
Two and a half stars.
I think...
Haven't seen it. Tom, I haven't seen it. So
you haven't seen 1999's The Matrix.
Oh my God.
Five stars.
This is our first episode back. Look, the listeners knew what they were gonna get.
Oh, it's very
footy,
silly,
yelling, and movies. I literally just stepped out of the cinema to record this podcast. I'm going back. So I got magic on the mind.
Beautiful.
Living either close to a cinema or within 3 hours of a cinema is dangerous. Yep.
I hope that there's a Choc Top in your future, mate.
There was one in my past, Sean.
Oh, flavor. Can I ask what flavor?
I hope there's another one in the future.
Hope there's a Belgian chocolate.
Lock it in. And Tom, lock it in.
Yep. Oh, fucking hell.
Fantastic. You had the two best flavors.
Yeah. The two best flavors are Belgian chocolate and then Belgian chocolate.
Brilliant.
Which is what I plan on eating when I go back to the cinema.
The second best flavor is cinema.
I stand by the fact, too, that I brought back the Belgian chocolate because it disappeared.
Yeah, I think you did.
I raised it. Now it's back.
Yep.
I think that was me.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
Fucked up. Anyway, back to the footy.
Boys, can I just say that I watched
more scoring shots.
Parts of this game in the possibly, I think... Maybe the only way that footy media or any sport is supposed to be consumed on my phone during the reception of a wedding
in Byron Bay. You were interstate this weekend.
during the reception, Tom?
Well, yes, in that weird time period where the ceremony has finished and the bridal party and the groom party have gone off to do photos, and you have 90 minutes.
Yeah, can I ask a question? Is this a situation where the open bar is not yet open?
Incorrect, Sean.
Oh, that's a good bride and groom.
The open bar opened before the ceremony.
Oh, Jesus Christ! That's brave.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, generous. So it was really good. It was there was champagne strictly for the lead up to the ceremony.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the ceremony was over, the bar remained open, and they were like, "Hey, everybody, we've made Tom Collins's for everyone. Just come and the guy."
Your namesake, Tom.
This isn't footy related at all, but I need to just mention this, that the bartender who was serving people was probably the greatest. He had the perfect combination of swingman energy, in that he was a lippy half forward, but with the swagger of a dashing half back flanker.
Okay.
Like real Zach Tui energy.
Yeah. Tom, can I ask a question? Sorry, you go, Tom.
One point was getting so excited opening Peronis that he was like, "How far do you reckon I can launch this bottle cap?" And I was like, "I reckon you can hit that pillar," and he fucking did. And then when I came back the next time, he winked at me, went to do it again, and hit a woman in the arm, and was like, "Sorry, ma'am, we're getting a bit rowdy over here," and gave her a wink, and she immediately forgave him.
Fucking hell, the confidence and the arrogance. I can see why you liked him.
Tom,
my question for you, and this is football related.
What was the
reaction from the caterers when you told them that you couldn't have the chicken or the fish, you had to have toast?
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, no chicken or fish. There was no roast. It was a pasta dish.
Yeah, like, so sorry, I'm on a no winning diet today. Thank you.
Toast only. Now look, Sean, we spoke in the two-man episode special last week. What did I want? And I wanted to see a change, a bit of growth, or a step in the right direction. And I think round one last year, they smashed us by about 60-something points. This year, we were in front during that fourth quarter and looked like we could have pinched it.
Wow.
And to only go down by a couple of goals, that's a huge improvement for mine.
We received some very excited messages from Tom Joel in that third quarter. He was believing a miracle was on the horizon.
Oh, it looked on.
And then he went very quiet.
Then we started, we lost and...
Then the toast consumption before, took over.
There was an open bar, so I just went...
did you tell that bartender, keep the toaster warm, baby?
Yeah, far enough for me. But no, really great positive signs. Nina Morrison didn't do her knee, which was really fucking good. And it's one of those things where you pick a player in as a top draft pick and it's like, what kind of immediate impact are they going to have? Yeah. And it's like all the talk about Prisparkas being really good. Boys, she's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, just looked like she had been playing at that level forever. Like just... was shrugging tackles, kicking long, and Amy McDonald has basically continued on from where she left off. Just a lazy 14 tackles, boys. 14. No fucking worries. That's turbo numbers.
Yeah, that is big. Far out.
Good to see. Again, we did wobble a bit in that last quarter, and I think early on we were doing some silly little, like there was still a little bit of that old mindset of how we were playing, but it did improve. The wonders of having multiple options in our forward line so that our key forward doesn't have to get dragged up the ground as a get-out-of-jail kick was really nice. Our back line played well. Two worries, obviously, Chloe Shear got cleaned up but came back on, so she was good to keep playing. So she came back on in the game and should be available for next week, which is really positive. But Meg Mac, that didn't look great. I have no update on what that was.
Yeah, that hurt my heart.
Yeah, it wasn't good to see. It's not an ACL, but it didn't look fantastic. Whether it was just precautionary and they were like, we'd wrap you in a bit of cotton wool and hopefully she's okay. Like, I have literally heard no news about it. So, but look, positive signs. Positive signs, step forward, and a ripping choice of jumper for round one.
Happy with that?
Very happy with that.
You also got a Rising Star nom.
Sure did. Sure did. Georgie got the nom.
Yep.
Pretty clear why.
Give her the medal.
She's very good at football, boys.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I tell you what else is exciting, and she'll get better as she adjusts more to the game, is our Irish recruit, Rachel Cairns. Cairns. My pronunciation's dog shit, but she looks likely. She's just got a bit like Orla in that first sort of year, Sean, where she was going and just
she was the best player in the comp.
A little bit. No, she didn't get there till a couple of years later.
Wash your mouth out.
But you know, like you can see the potential there.
Yeah. Huge. Well, Tom, valiant defeat. Hopefully you can bring this performance again next week and for the rest of the season. Maybe you'll chalk up some wins along the way, maybe.
Hey, that's all I want, is just some improvement. Just some positive signs for either the back of this year and next year and beyond.
Now, Sean.
Joel.
We can go to the next game of the round. Mm. Or we can jump forward to Sunday. To a brief moment in time where you forgot that cricket was on, because it was more important factors and maybe your phone was absolutely fucking ringing off the handle.
Yeah, my phone was going off its fucking head. Great update from last week where we talked about the Brisbane Lions group chat.
Yep.
On this show. The chat has been created. The chat is fucking pumping. We've got, I think, 15 Brisbane fans in there.
Good number.
If you do want to get involved with that, just reach out, because it's I'm very happy with it.
I'd just like to say after
delighted,
last week,
you could say.
In episode, there was a bit of discussion about you weren't sure which platform to take it over. Whilst I was editing the episode, I was like, Sean, this is a big time Instagram messenger job.
Yeah. No, you were 100% spot on, mate.
Yeah.
Great call. People have got around it.
Yeah.
It started to fire up when the weekend started.
Yep.
People getting nervous, people getting excited for the game. And then on game day, it just exploded. It was fucking great. We've got people from all over the world in there. We've got London Luke. Ooh. You know Luke, who plays for the Wimbledon team over there. He's great. As the game was starting, he was like, fuck, it's my bedtime. I'll check in tomorrow. We've got Brandon from Canada, who was like, this actually suits me time-wise. It's fantastic. He was great too, because he's watching it, and it's in South Australia, and it was like 30-something degrees. And Flinders, I think, was the ground there. Yep. Like a desert around the edges. And he was like, this is so funny to watch, because at my house right now, it's like minus 30 degrees. It was great. I actually loved the suburban ground, because it had like massive trees and the shade of the trees and just people sitting on camp chairs underneath that watching the footy.
Yeah.
Loved that. Really, that's a good vibe. But yeah, the vibe in the group chat was powerful.
Yeah.
Even after the game, a little bit flat, but it's a good group. Everyone was just pretty happy that footy's back, really. Looking forward to next week. Shattered about some injuries. So this game was a bit of carnage for Brisbane. Lutkins. Yeah. It's not confirmed yet. I don't know why it's taken so long. Probably because we're not a VFL team. So the media don't give a fuck. But Lutkins has probably done her ACL.
Jesus Christ.
And Dakota Davidson, I think she rolled an ankle, but it looked like pretty bad. They carried her off as well. So,
like a syndesmosis type
thing. I'm not sure. It just looked like a... I don't know. It was like pretty innocuous as well. Like at first I thought, fuck, don't be another knee. But then Stasevich was saying that it was an ankle, and he kind of implied that playing at this time of the year is going to be tough, because the grounds are fucking hard. It's hot out there. Grounds are really hard.
Sean, he's not the only one. There's been a lot of debate after there were three knee injuries to three players this weekend.
You know what sucks too? I mean, it sucks that anyone would do their knee in the game. But it's like three absolute fucking guns.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like your best defender, probably your best midfielder, and one of your best forwards.
Yep. Yeah, this had shades of
Huntington. She plays at both ends.
Yeah. It's just fucked.
This had shades. Sean, you have nothing but my condolences, because it had shades of what happened to me round two last year in the AFLM when we lost Shiel, Caldwell, and
Draper.
That's right, Draper in one game.
It's just like, I think Lutkins was in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And it was actually frustrating to watch it, because I saw it happen live. And then I saw her trainers coming out and helping her. And the commentary took like 5-10 minutes to catch up to what had happened. And I'm just like, just give me some fucking information.
Yeah.
And then immediately it just sort of threw the back line off a little bit.
Yeah.
I think like watching the game, pressure was pretty good from both sides up until a certain point, maybe right near the end in the last quarter.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I didn't watch it and go, oh, fuck, Brisbane got blown off the park. They were pretty competitive. It was just a really luckless inside 50 game, I think. Like, I'm not like, oh, shit, the season's fallen apart. But, I mean, Lutkins is literally the worst player to lose, I think. And then Davidson at the other end, like leading goal kicker, yeah. Multiple All-Australian back.
Yeah.
Like, ah, fucking hurts.
Bad stuff.
Sucks, man. Because, like, they've lost a lot of experience too. Lauren yeah, Arnell yeah. And Zilke. And, yeah, it's just...
Boy, not boy. The ideal start. In fact, pretty nightmare start to the season for you.
Big time. Our new recruit, yeah. Phoebe Monahan, I really loved her game. She was good. And you know who I fucking love, who I think is so underrated, is Shannon True. Campbell. Because yep. she attacks that footy with murderous intent every contest. I fucking love it so much. She just looks like she will straight up kill anybody who gets in between her and the footy. And you need players like that in your team. And the usual suspects were good. Like Aller, I thought was pretty good. Conway had an awesome sidestep. She had a lot of good moments. Anderson got a lot of ball. Bates did pretty well, that sort of thing. But yeah, Hodder. The chat group was so excited for a Hodder goal, and we have to wait another week.
That's that right. a shame. But that's imagine what is going to happen to you. Your battery will just drain immediately.
I will.
Energy yeah, from the chat.
I full on think my phone will blow up. Like, it'll just explode. And it'll be you'll worth come it. Back it'll into be worth next it. Week's. The goal will be worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next week's episode, you'll just hold a charred husk of a phone.
Sean, what happened to your fucked. Eyebrows?
Yeah. I think they'll bounce back next week.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, though, too, there's been a lot of debate about the services of the grounds, and it's been something that's been brought up a few times. And Beck Goddard summed it up kind of nicely on the Saturday night when Izzy Huntington went down. Which yeah. is saying that you've got to remember too, because it's a part-time profession still, it doesn't just impact them for football. The male athletes, when they go down with a season-ending injury, it's fine because their full-time job is football. Their full-time income is football. But for yeah. the women, it fucks them there, and then it also fucks them in their work, in everything else. It's so detrimental.
It's bad.
And it's just, I think there's going to be really big more of a push to... As much as we were saying last week, I do love the summer vibe. I love that I can have a Milo ice cream at the footy. I enjoy that there's a shorter gap between the off-season of the men's and the start yeah. of the women's comp. But at the cost of constant injuries to the women players, because the grounds are fucking designed for cricket, where the ball, you know, it's perfect time. The reason, you know, it's a fucking winter sport.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
This is turning every ground into a Hal Hull stadium.
Correct. We grow the grass longer at the G for footy than we do for cricket to protect players from injuries. That is literally the reason.
And Tom, you can have a Milo ice cream in March. I mean,
I can. Hey,
you can have one anytime.
I can have a Milo ice cream in June. I'm that kind of motherfucker.
That's true.
Yeah, you are that kind of motherfucker.
Sponsor me, Milo.
Hmm.
Please.
So yeah,
send me a big box of just send them, please.
Yeah, just a big box.
Yep. Milo, if you're listening, I love your cereal, I love your powder that goes in milk, and I love your ice creams.
While we're just putting a quick shout out for our brand sponsorship, I will just say that over the weekend, I was drinking a couple of VB stubbies, and eagle-eyed friend of mine noticed that one of the facts was actually wrong, and I messaged VB on Instagram after consuming some of their world-famous stubbies. And the desperation for a free slab in exchange for the information I had was very obvious through the message. Yet I got hit with a, thank you so much, have a ripper 2022, we'll pass this on to marketing. No, pass my address on. So VB,
I can't believe they replied.
It was a good message by me too. I thought about including my address originally, just... to really, 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 really hammer home the point, but that's gonna be a reoccurring storyline. I think my quest for free beer and justice.
Mm. You tried. I respect it.
I did.
Yeah, just like I respect Milo.
Yeah,
yeah.
In
cereal, ice cream, and drink form.
Oh, correct. It's a rare substance where it is good both liquid, frozen. And powder.
Powder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So let's jump back again, back to Saturday. And this was another huge game, which was Western Bulldogs' take on Melbourne. This is going to be biased, obviously, but fucking hell, Taylor Harris reminding everyone that she's very dangerous. There was like one, like, she doesn't do sling tackles because you get reported for those, but she makes sure that a player isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this was a kind of a Melbourne kind of being like, hey, just a heads up, we're having a crack again this year. Like, the Doggies had that a little bit of a mini fight back and Melbourne kind of weathered it.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, kept him at an arm's length and was like, no, fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd already done the damage.
Yeah.
You talked about skills going up, Tom, sort of naturally every year. Like Melbourne, they were fucking just on fire early.
Yeah. Well, they've got some really talented younger players who've like now been in that system for a couple of years, like your Zankers and your Hankses and your Kate Hawes and like these, not younger players, like, you know, they've been on the list for a while, but again, they're benefiting from the system and they're benefiting from playing football for longer as juniors, and you're starting to see it pay dividends. Like, I don't know how old Zanker is, but she wouldn't be that old, I wouldn't have thought. And you can just see, well, she's benefiting from, you know, having that system there to just do whatever the fuck she likes, really. And look, I made a smoky call last week that Ellie Blackburn might win the medal, and she had a ripper game, even though she was playing in a losing side.
Zanker is 22, and Daisy Pierce still good at football.
Oh, the best. Joel, can I confirm that you're still a Carlton supporter, or are you Melbourne?
No. So Melbourne was never on the cards.
Oh.
If anything, I almost got swayed to Richmond, but no, I still work for Carlton.
Yeah, okay.
I am a member after all.
Yeah. Good for you. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just mention something that I've seen on here that is driving me insane now that I'm looking up some stats?
Yep.
Is that for whatever reason, on the Friday night game, on the official app, when you go to players to look at their list of stats, both the Richmond and St Kilda players are just black and white. Whereas in every other team, they make sure to differentiate. Like, Melbourne are black and white when they're compared to, or dark blue. Like, Make Richmond yellow and black.
Is this on the app, did you say, Tom?
On the actual app.
So Tom's done a terrible job of explaining it here. But usually, when you look at players' stats, there's like a box where their number and name is written on it. And they usually go for opposing colours, so you can tell who plays for what team easily by looking at it. But St Kilda have black in their logo and Richmond have black in their logo, so they've just picked black both times.
Yeah, if you're looking at that list and you don't know who plays for who, good fucking luck.
Well, I mean, right next to it is the option to pick St Kilda or Richmond, but I understand your point.
Yeah, sure. But I want to see them in comparison to one another.
Sure.
But yeah, again, like you said, very, very, very clear flexing of the muscles by Melbourne, and yeah, they look scary. Speaking of looking scary, someone that, you know, spent the last couple of years just putting bodies in the fucking ground. Kiara Bowers, still very fucking dangerous, and I think had as many disposals as she did tackles again this week.
She had 24 and 14, so she had the same number of tackles as Amy McDonald. Again, turbo numbers.
Mm.
Yeah, Frio, you know, really, really, really putting the pressure on West Coast, who were in it until three-quarter time. Then the last quarter happened and they were not in it. They were done.
Yeah, I loved every goal Antonio kicked was fucking cooked. Oh. And the celebrations.
That first one, fuck.
Incredible. Big fan.
Yeah. She's, they split the medal. Is that right? Antonio and Bowers both won best on. But when they did the coaches' votes, I think Antonio. Hang on, let me just check this before I make a very
dumb hate
call.
To be wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they split the they didn't split the coaches' votes. So Antonio got the 10 votes.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Just give her.
Bowers only got 6.
Oof. A victim of her own high standards.
Correct. They went 14 tackles, why not 27?
Yeah.
You got the same number of tackles as another player. You should be leading. Turbo numbers.
They went, you had 14 tackles and you had 24 touches. Why is there a difference? What the fuck?
They should be the same.
Yeah.
They go, oh, did you only play half the game?
Then moving back to Sunday, Carlton took on Collingwood. And again, much like the Freo and West Coast game, close at three-quarter time. Not so close to the last quarter.
I'll be honest. Ran away with it. Yeah. When Brisbane lost, I took a leave of absence from phone and football.
Yeah, it's important.
I understand.
Especially considering this. Yeah, considering the situations.
Yep. Took the dog for a long walk.
Yeah.
It's recommend important. It. Highly recommend.
Self care.
Yep.
I was at the beach trying to swim off my body weight in Tom Collins's from the very friendly bartender. So I also missed most of the afternoon's football.
Mm. Did you swim home?
I thought about it. Yeah. I thought about
safest
it.
Safest way to
I
travel. Thought,
yeah, it would have been.
I mean, right now, I'll tell you what, I am flying. I used to love being on a plane because, you know, you're on a plane, you get to read a book uninterrupted for like 2 or 3 hours. It's great. And I still
the
got to do
that. The famous 2 or 3 hour flight from Melbourne to Sydney.
Yeah, correct. Hey, not Sydney, Byron Bay. It's about 2 hours.
All right, mate.
But yeah, so that flight was possibly the most nerve-wracking. Just being on a plane with other people, being like, oh, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
That makes my next episode will be from a bubble.
The bubble boy.
Yep.
Well, yeah. All you need to know, Matty Presbarker is still fucking queen of football. I was watching a discussion on Friday night where one thing that's it's kind of ties into like the Kate McCarthy thing, which is that AFLW has a lot of people that are in the system also commentating, which included the Carlton coach on Friday night.
I didn't love that. I don't know why I have an issue with that. One. Players, love it. Fine with it. Coach, don't know about that.
But it also meant that like he was just openly talking about this game. That was also weird. Not like plans, but he was like, yeah, Collingwood are dangerous and we're going to have to look into doing a couple of things. And then he was like teasing the other panelists for not tipping Carlton.
Well, now he looks like an idiot.
Yeah. Mm, should have coached better, dickhead. Although, Sean, surely if coaches are in the media, that puts them closer to us as we are also famously in the media.
Yeah, but I don't know why, because I seriously have no issue with players commentating. Yeah. Something about seeing the coach in there, I was just like, this doesn't feel right. I don't know why, but
it feels
weird.
Like that it's like betraying the team and giving away team secrets.
Yeah, I guess. But also like the coach needs to, players have a bit more personality. No disrespect to coaches, but the players, they're in there and they're building a career in the media as well. Whereas the coach, it's kind of like, you're not going to say anything. I don't think you're going to say anything particularly interesting because you kind of can't.
Yeah. Yeah, you're saying that maybe coaches should focus more on coaching and less on becoming a personality in the media, like potentially working on a tan and growing a beard so that they're fucking hot stuff, but then not win a final?
Hey.
Something like that, maybe?
Hey. Oh,
Jesus.
Hey, we're not even at the men's comp. I can't believe you'd fucking have a low blow at me when we're not even at that point of the season.
Can't argue
believe
that,
I've gone on holiday and I've come home and my friend has caught cuntitis.
That's what Gil injected me with to get me out of last week.
Gil's got a mo.
Oh, yeah. Gil looks fucked. Like, I forgot about that. Yeah. Gil, fucking hell. Is this what Gil just looks like over summer and we're not used to, like, summer of Gil because there's usually a break in football? Because
I think last year, summer of Gil, he had, like, a big beard. And then he gets rid of it when the footy season, you know, when the AFLM starts, he seems to get back to business. But, yeah, when he's watching AFLW, just an observer with a fucked mustache, I guess.
And it's like it's a bristly one.
Big time. Yeah.
I'm just going to have to...
Yeah, Tom, you missed out on a lot when you're a fucking swoon of the sea or whatever.
Gil mustache. Do you know what's funny? If you type in Gil mustache, doesn't come up.
Mm. Well, it's fresh.
Yeah, that is funny. I think he's made one public appearance with a mustache, and that was Friday night. Anyway, to bring home the rounds, look, does feel rough to say this, but bit of a who cares call.
It was for me. I will quite honestly say that. I was not engaged with football after the loss.
Big start by Gold Coast Suns. But yeah, Giants are always going to win this, I think. Yeah.
Well, it ended up being a much sort of more balanced game than I think people thought it would be.
One team had a strong start and the other didn't. And then... So, like, Gold Coast
and then nature took its course.
Yeah, Gold Coast burst out of the gates in the first quarter.
I will say this about this game.
Get it out. What do you say?
It was brought to my attention via the Discord that apparently the GWS players might listen to How Good's Footy because they were discussing the idea of playing on a floating stadium in the Great Barrier Reef, which was as floated by us last week.
Okay, so
was it
this? Yes,
it you
was.
And I
was talking about it. Yes,
yes, you and I. Yeah,
but that was in the media because I saw the coach get asked about it.
Yeah, they were listening to our show.
Interesting. Okay, so quick announcement. If you are involved in the AFLM or AFLW and you're listening to this show, first of all, why? Second of all, quietly let us know so we can not talk shit. I'll say it. Yeah. I'll change my tune big time.
Yeah,
you'll tell Gil
zero integrity.
Doing a great job.
I don't care. I'm no fucking Sir Thomas More.
Also, if you want to ruin your career, come on the show.
Oh yeah, I'll be a big time.
Yeah, yeah.
Open to any and all guests.
If you never want to either play a game again, appear in the media, appear in any promotional material, if you are ready to burn the bridge that is the AFL or AFLW, contact us.
Are you an AFL player that in any code that is burnt out and would rather burn out rather than fade away? Do you want 1 week of football and then never have to deal with football again? Email us at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com. We'll get you on the show. Sorted.
Flip side to that, Gemma was on the show a lot and has gone on to great things.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, Broden Kelly of Auntie Donna fame hasn't lost any jobs despite appearing on this podcast twice.
It's probably booked a couple more.
Maybe. Our friends end up in the media.
Yeah, if you see Broden Kelly in anything at any point in the next 3 years, it's probably us who did it.
They love his passion on the show. Speaking of passion, should we talk tips for next week?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. We sure can.
Right. Friday night. Huge game. Game of the round. Richmond take on Melbourne at Swinburne Centre.
I think Melbourne. Too good.
Melbourne.
Yeah. I'm also going to tip Melbourne, but should be an exciting game. Then, at Victoria Park, Collingwood take on St Kilda. I think Collingwood will win this pretty easily.
Collingwood.
Yeah, they should smash them.
St Kilda looked gassed by the end of last game, so... That will not.
The
do
only
well
thing,
for them.
The only thing, is whether the Bree Davey thing completely rattles Collingwood from a sort of an emotional perspective, and it takes them a bit to get going again.
Yeah, Collingwood.
That'd be pretty rough. Considering they're still going to win, I think. But yeah,
Brisbane take on Carlton.
Brisbane,
Carlton. They're back. Oh,
Wait, what?
Brisbane. Brisbane.
Did you back Carlton, Joe?
Yes.
That's right. I would expect you to.
Yes.
What if I'd said Carlton Shaw?
Tom, your tips mean
nothing. We'll never know. We'll never know. Yeah. Your tips mean nothing, but funnily enough, you are beating Joel currently in the tipping.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm glad you bring this up because, Sean, what happened last week when you put your tips in and you told me who you tipped? When it came to Friday night? Yeah, you.
Me? I can't remember. What did I say?
Okay. Friday night, you were like, I've gone St. Kilda. And I was like, why the fuck have you done that?
I think I did go St. Kilda.
Yeah, and I was like, why? Like, Richmond will run a... What are you? Yeah. I was like, come on. Oh, what?
Kate, honestly. Like, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, I got in your ear about it. Guess who it turns out I fucking tipped?
You tipped St. Kilda.
St. Kilda.
I don't know what the fuck I think...
The power of Kate McCarthy.
Yeah, I think it was also may have been the power of Liquid Courage putting my tips in at some point. I don't remember.
I went Twin Magic. That was the only reason I put my tip in as Richmond.
Yeah.
Twin Magic. Too powerful.
Good.
I see, like, I don't remember the day I put my tips in, and, like, it's not like I've had a big week, but that's the only reason I can think of, like, why
must
I wouldn't
be,
have gone
must
Richmond.
Be all that, the drugs that Gil drugged you with to try to kidnap you to stop you coming on the show.
Well, that's true. I was very unwell last week, so there is a good chance it was just brain fog.
Yeah.
Poisoned by Gil McLaughlin.
Gil drugged you and stole your mustache.
Yeah.
Just going to say that on the record again. Gil McLaughlin, poisoner of Dusha.
Yeah. Gil McLaughlin wants me dead.
That's not defamatory. We're definitely not going to get sued.
Brought to you by Milo.
Yeah. And VB.
Hey, Milo, we're a wholesome podcast that talks about high profile public figures being assassins. Definitely let us give us free shit.
Then... Geelong take on Western Bulldogs.
I'm obviously going Geelong, boys, but another scary, tough one.
I'm going to go Geelong.
GMHBA Stadium will definitely help here, I think.
And we looked positive.
Actually, depends what happens with Meg Mack, possibly.
I'm going to say the Dogs, but I am open to changing it. Then at VU Witten Oval, we have West Coast taking on Gold Coast Suns. Why are they playing there?
Because they can't play in Perth.
Yes. Melbourne is a great place to be currently, so I'm glad West Coast are coming
West
over.
Coast.
The BBL are hubbing. Are gonna, not, they're not calling it a hub, sorry, but a lot of the teams are moving to Victoria to play.
Yeah.
I'm also going to... Oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to go the Suns on this one. Bit of Tex Perkins, bit of Kalinda magic.
Oof.
Yeah, I reckon Suns for me too. I just think that like West Coast... looked gassed last week, and also the flight is not going to help, and being scared you're going to get COVID and not being able to see your family.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then Adelaide take on North Melbourne. Ooh, Adelaide.
Yeah, Adelaide.
I think Adelaide too, based on what we saw on the weekend from both teams.
And then another VU Witten Oval game. Freo take on Giants. Freo. That's big. Could be a big round.
Dusha.
Tom.
Open that inbox, baby. We got any emails?
Oh, we do. People are excited. Footy's back. So to get this fucking hype just going straight out of the inbox, we got an email from Pat. Subject, I'm psyched! Howdy, boys. Even though life is currently terrible with COVID and all Australian leaders being absolute clowns, I am truly psyched for the new AFLW season so far because, one, footy stopped me going mad from COVID ISO. Two, my Tigers got a huge win last night and looked like they could actually be contenders. Three, I may have a new favourite player in Amelia Yasir, who only played one game but played like an absolute fucking maniac. Four, the skill level looks incredible this season, currently watching Melbourne cut the Dogs to pieces. And five, the Channel 7 AFLW commentary is 100 million thousand times better than the men's, as it has actual experts and zero fuckwits.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm
agreed.
Really fucking jazzed about this season, and hopefully I'll get a weekend where I'm not ISOing at home and can actually get to a fucking game. Also, while I'm here, gonna pledge for the women's and men's. Might as well shave my head while the receding isn't too noticeable. Up the fucking Tigers. Pat. Good email, Pat. Great way to bring the emails back this year, I reckon. We actually have got a couple of pledges. I won't read them all out because It's just emails being like, hey, I pledge. But we've seen them. We know.
Yes.
We will hold you accountable.
If your team wins and we find out that you have not heard the telltale buzz of clippers on scalp, I will Liam Neeson you and I will find you and I will clip you myself.
Yeah. Hey, we had a Manscaped sponsorship. We are equipped.
Yep.
Oh, mate, that thing shaves so beautifully. I'll swim to you. I'll get that Milo sponsorship. It'll charge me up to go and go and go. And then I'll come for you with those clippers and I will shave the fuck out of you. This is a wild episode. I'm threatening to shave listeners.
We'll do it. We'll fucking do it. If this is your first episode of How Good's Footy, yes, they are all like this. Next email. And this is from Jacob. Not that Jacob. Subject, giant start. G'day, blokes. Despite how much the AFL house has cooked the start time of the competition schedule this year, hope this golden patch of AFL and cricket overlap has treated you well. GWS, you little ripper. How good's footy? If the comp had started 20 years ago, Cora Staunton would have a statue in Sydney Olympic Park and would still be putting on an arts and craft footwork display every weekend without aging. That's good. We're good. How good?
Ooh.
Postscripts. I've been watching nothing but sports since Boxing Day, and my brain is dead set cooked. Bring on next weekend. From one of the 20 Jacobs. That's how Jacob has signed off the email. And Jacob, there's an army of you out there.
And only 20, every though.
Every single Jacob that emails the show is dangerous. All right. Now, we've got one last email. But before we get to that, we promised a roast review last year. And last week I wasn't here. So we prolonged it. But now I think is the time. We need to talk about the 2021 AFLM Final Series roast as put on by Terrence Reed.
Boys, look, I'll let you have the floor. It's okay. It's my family, and I've had many a roasts. Take it
not
away.
Not many finals ones, though.
Well, no, I had a pretty good run for a bit there.
Yeah.
I had three grand final roasts, so.
Yeah. So it's worth speaking of. I'm glad you said runs, though, because we actually started our roast day by going to a track and field event where the Snake Man absolutely tore it up. I've never seen a man move like
lapped.
That.
Lapped so many people.
Yeah.
Basically everybody.
Yeah. We found out that his favorite running technique is to lap people because he can see them ahead of him, and rather than stick to his time, he just loves to gobble them up. His words.
He's a Pac-Man. He's a human Pac-Man.
Yeah. Was looking good. Looking very aerodynamic. So yeah, good stuff, Snake Man. Love your work. And it was a great warm-up to the Terrence Reed roast. So we rolled into your parents' house, Tom. Roast was already firing. Veggies in the oven under the watchful eye of Terrence.
Yep.
Now, it was a summer roast. And what made it a
watchful
summer roast
eye is very
fact.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Watchful
that's
eye.
A, that's a very... You've used specific language there.
Watchful eye on the oven is worth noting.
Yeah, okay.
Because roast, it was a summer roast, was being cooked on the barbecue outside. Yep. Now, Terrence, all eyes on the oven to make sure that the roast vegetables were turning out beautifully. And they were. At one point, though, looking out the window at the barbecue, there's quite a lot of flames coming from it. In which case, Terrence said, well, you turned to your dad and you said, Terrence, I think the barbecue's on fire. And he said, nah, it'll be right. Just go turn it down. So, Tom, you were like, I don't know what you want me to do here. You marched out to the barbecue.
At first, I just saw a lot of smoke.
Yeah.
And I thought,
hey, Sean, at this point, would have been a great time to think that where there's smoke, there is, in fact...
A barbecue fire. On fire.
I just thought initially, I'm not going to say anything because this might be Terrence's method. And then I started to see the lick of flames coming out, and I sort of gave Tom a bit of a look, and then Tom was like, yeah, Dad, like, situation here. And Terrence, yeah, very much was just like, go on, turn it down. Tom, what happened next?
So I went out to turn it down, and boys, I don't know what you could see from your vantage point, but okay, every time I reached for the knob to turn it down, a jet of fire shot out at my hand.
I'll tell you what I saw from my perspective, your brother being like, he's in all sorts of trouble here.
What I saw was a man with the fear of God. He was just reaching out and having his fingers tickled by flames.
And then your dad was just like, no, it'll be fine. It's fine. And he was like, Thomas, come on, get back inside then. Marched out to the barbecue, just lunged his hand straight at the knobs, got them turned down, lifted the lid after that. Lot of smoke.
A lot.
And came back inside. And he was just like, no, it'll be fine.
No, he was filthy with himself. There was a big vibe of, I have fucking fucked this up. I'm angry at myself. The meat looked quite black. There was a bit of a rumble of fear, I think, went through the group of, what are we in for here? But we needn't have worried. I think it was cooked to perfection.
It was perfect.
It was so good.
Incredible. It tasted like making finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think maybe watching the roast cook was like a good reflection of that, because like last year there was moments where maybe our seasons were on fire, but then we were able to get it under control and it was served to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
It's great roast.
It was very good, boys. It was very, very good. And Sean, I think though there was one highlight of the whole trip, and it wasn't the Snake Man's run. It wasn't the barbecue. It was actually you and I took a scenic route on the way home, and I showed you probably one of the highlights of my hometown. And no, it's not the biggest sexy land. It was the Sphinx Hotel. Sean.
Huge.
The Flores Hills.
Like, absolutely enormous. I could not believe it. And on approach, Tom said, I'll do a loop and we'll drive past it again so you can just take it all in. And I remember thinking, I don't think that's going to be necessary. Whoa, it will be.
Yeah,
drive past
you needed
it seven
like a third
times.
Pass. Yeah.
It was honestly extremely impressive. I was blown away. When Tom said there was another highlight, it could have been any number of things because it was going off. At one point, his mum brought the photo albums out, and I saw a lot of photos of a young Thomas Reed, a young shark boy. Lots of shark photos. the night had a bit of everything. A five-star meal. Terrence not letting us go before we help him fix his TV remote.
That was such a dad time.
And also, dessert was served.
Oh, delicious. And your mum made
ice cream.
Your mum made the rum balls as well, Tom. That's five. Everything was five stars. Yep. Everything five stars.
Could not have asked for a better night.
Yeah. I really do hope that we all get back to the finals next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Joel, you and I even put in an audition of sorts.
There was we were greeted with various situations that are likely to happen at the Snake Man's wedding.
Yeah.
And you failed all of them.
I don't think we did.
I think
I thought in particular Joel was very impressive.
He was, but Sean, you crumbled immediately, which makes me worry about the partnership.
No, it's good. You gotta have
really, like, if you're a batting team, Sean, you immediately threw your wicket away.
No, because I was looking over and I saw Steve Smith just dominating with the bat. And I thought, I'm just gonna let him go. Sometimes one man has to make 30 runs so the other man can make 100.
Yeah, that's what you saw. You weren't even making 30. You left on a and got clean bowled. Shouldered arm straight through. Ripped out the middle stump.
I think that's bullshit. He's talking shit.
Yeah.
Hey, the first scenario was thrown at you, Sean, and what you went, "Oh, yeah, I'm out." It was Jared. It's my uncle.
That's because I met him.
Exactly. You immediately went, "Nah, I can't do it." So, if anyone, the MC role is only going to be done by one man and not two.
Well, Taylor Harris is available too.
Yeah, so it actually could end up being the Carney, Doucher, and Harris ceremony.
CDH.
Yeah.
Massive ticket.
Taylor will she'll clear every hurdle thrown at her by what sounds to be quite the eccentric family.
Very.
Yeah, it sounds like the MC role at this wedding is mostly fighting uncles and a nan. I can't wait. Frankly, yeah, I'm really excited for this role. And
Tom, if you've been honest, on the Scaredy Boys podcast, which has new episodes every Friday, how many nans have I, you know, said I'd punch in horror films? A lot.
Every single one.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's an evil nan, I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, very qualified to deal with Lippy Nan.
Yeah. Well, now, if anyone else wants any more information about any of the great landmarks of Geelong, they can email the requests to us at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com, or they can find us on Twitter at howgoodsfooty, or individually, I'm at Orchid Trade.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm at Douche13. And boys, can't believe footy's back, and I'm strapped. We've got 11 months of footy this year. By 11, I mean 10, but I stand by it. And by 10, I mean 9 and a bit.
Yep. Plenty.
But heaps.
Yeah.
Going to be fucking chock full of footy.
So much footy.
Yep.
And we were serious. Reach out if you want to wreck your career.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.